Each week, we have been hearing from different people out on the street on what they believe about things, and ask some questions that are unbelievable in some ways. And we've had all kinds of different answers, but there's a place that we go to here for those answers, and that's the scriptures. But when we talk about eternal life, how do we make sense of that? How do we understand something that none of us here have experienced, And this idea that there's eternal life, or something like we're going to live forever, never die. And though we can say it, each one of us would be lying if we said we truly understood what eternity meant. I mean, though we say that we believe in eternal things, there's no way to understand eternity or eternal things when what we experience is temporal. What we experience has an end. There's a beginning and an end to what we believe in. We've been using this timeline up here on the wall throughout this series, and today it's going to represent the average lifespan of a person, a man, in America. Today it is 79 years. So, if you want to see what that looks like in some of the major, visually what that looks like in some of the major moments in our experiences here on Earth, if you're lucky enough to make it the full 79, obviously we all start off the same with birth. And then I think one of the, there's a lot of different milestones after birth for us. Certainly one that seems to be the most significant for people, that next one is going to be 18. Because at 18, you know everything. And if you're still living at home, you get to say, I'm an adult and get to do what I want to do, even though they don't contribute anything. Now, when you look at the timeline of 79 years and 18 being here, it's no wonder they know everything. Look how much life they've lived, right? Sore subject for me. Next one, I would say this is probably a point in time where you might have an 18-year-old, or at least you are starting to understand that you knew very little about life, still trying to make sense of it. 45. It seems like also your eyesight's going bad by then. Your arm's barely long enough to read stuff anymore. Next might be 64. That would be, retirement for many. You look at all the time that you lived, and if it's average, I mean, it's just not a lot moving forward at that point. Because at 35 feet down the line here, we're at 79 years old. Average. I don't know. Some is going to be obviously shorter. Some will be longer. Men, women tend to live a little bit longer than men. You'll live about 2 to 3 years longer if you're in Canada. Just depends. 79 years here in the U.S. But we believe in something called eternity. And what is eternity on this timeline? It's hard to understand what eternity is. So this morning, I want to do the best I can to describe to you what eternity is. So I have some more duct tape. Because eternity is longer than 79 years. Now, I don't think I quite have enough duct tape to go for eternity. I've got enough duct tape to go a little ways. See if I can get this so it won't unwrap on me. You ready? Eternity. Here we go. We got to go this way because I'm out of wall. And this room would not be big enough. That'd only be a blip. I got to go this way. I'll be back.
All right, 35 feet in there, 20 more feet down the hall, 10 feet out here. We're gonna see how far this tape roll can go to show you how far eternity is. Here we go. 67, 68, 69, 70. Hey, didn't that used to say Baptist? 71, 72. Is that sausage biscuit with cheese? Oh, it makes me feel so sick. look at that. 387 years, 388 years. Ooh, ah, I got tired. How old Methuselah was? 970, 1,441 years, 1,442 years, 1,443 years. Hey, Mr. Bimbo.
I love having gone.
I made it. I had to do that twice today, by the way. If it wasn't for that coffee, I would have never made it. Oh, gee. Yeah, and then you just got to keep going. You know, I kept doing this all day, and then all the next day and the next day, and did it for a couple hundred years and a couple thousand years, and I just kept doing it, I wouldn't even begin on eternity, right? I mean, how honestly can we understand or comprehend what eternal is when all we know is this 79-year marker for life? Because when we die, is that the end of it, or is there like an afterlife, something to come? Interestingly, that all world religions believe in an afterlife. Not only do they believe in an afterlife, but they believe you don't die in the afterlife. In other words, the afterlife is eternal. All world religions believe this, which I just find fascinating. Yeah, if you're going to believe in an afterlife, why die during it? Everybody universally, in fact, a lot of us think the afterlife, you think, well, yeah, that also means eternity. Yeah, when we die, what's next? How do we know that there's this eternal thing in front of us? Is this just, you know, religion, or just, you know, the concepts of this? Can we have any knowledge of this? Stephen Hawking, who did a lot of thinking about this, he said these words. He said, eternity is a long time, especially towards the end. Right? That's a deep thought. There's a lot of debate in the scientific community about things that are eternal, but where there is not debate is the scientific community does believe in eternal things, because as they look out in our world and they look at things and try and make sense of it and try to map these things out, eternity or eternal things seems to be a part of that process. Eternity. For instance, there's one idea that the universe is cyclical, with big bangs followed by big crunches, followed by big bangs, followed by big crunches. Have you ever heard of the big crunch? It's kind of the opposite of the big bang. In fact, 14.8 billion years ago, when science tells us there was a big bang, they're also saying we're heading towards a big crunch, in which all matter is going to be reduced back down, and then there'll be another big bang and start all over again. So we're in one of those cycles that they say are endless eternal cycles. Big bangs and big crunches. Sounds like a breakfast cereal. Another notion is about eternal inflation, in which there are two different parts of the universe that expand and contract at different times, and the regions can be thought of as different universes amongst a giant, what they call, multiverse. I know I'm probably just like saying information you already know, but I'm going to err that some might not know some of these things. There's also this idea of called an emergent universe, which exists as a kind of, well, seed for eternity, and then suddenly it expands. In mathematics, they have something in mathematical expression in which there are certain calculations that have an eternalness to those calculations. Pi is one of those. You've heard of pi? 3.14. Is that the end of it? 3.14? No, that calculation, 3.14, and then the numbers keep going. And however big your calculator is, however many spots for numbers, that's how many there are. And then if you have a bigger calculator, it'll fill up that one and that one to an eternal. There's no end to the calculation of pi. And a randomness of numbers, not a repeating of numbers. It's a crazy mathematical equation called a mathematical constant. In fact, there was a guy who did the best he could to recite by memory pi as far as he could get. And he holds the world record. His name is Suresh Kumar Sharma. That's him, and he's super cool. Because he recited by memory the decimals after 3.14, and he said them by heart, by memory, 17,030 numbers. It took him 17 hours and 14 minutes to do it. He holds a world record. I think he's going to keep it. Like, you mess up once, you're done. Like, who knows past 3.14 here? Sabrina knows? Anybody else know anything past? Deb? Deb and Sabrina, will you come up? We're going to have a pie off. I know I'm asking huge here, you know. Okay. Deb, how many do you think you know past?
Past 4.
3.14.
Two more.
Two more. Sabrina, do you know more than two more?
27.
We're going to see. All right. I've got them written down. Deb, if she messes up, see, all you have to do is you're two and you're good. So what do you got? 3.1415. Very good. Give her a hand. She knows two more than you guys. All right, Sabrina. Hit it.
3.1415926535897932384626.
Yep. Give her a hand. Sabrina, you get to go home with pie. Thank you. Yeah. Woo! You know, a little bit of studying and you could be the world record holder with 17,014 more numbers. Eternity is not a religious concept. Eternity is something that we see in our world, and that science is doing its best to try and make sense of how it fits and how it fits within theories and how it fits within the observable world around us. Because there is a beginning and an end in some things, but also what was before the beginning and what's after what we see is the end, and there seems to be this eternalness to it. But it's important that we understand that when we are talking about eternity, we are talking about time, okay? And I don't want to oversimplify this, and I don't want to overcomplicate this, but let's start with a couple of fill-ins for you on your program. First of all, eternal is something that is unchanged with time. Now, you're not going to find this in some scientific book somewhere. This is literally Pastor Doug's best understanding of this with the study that I've done and the reading that I've done, is that the eternalness, or something to be eternal, it is something that's unchanged with time, because time is the only way to measure eternity. It's actually the lack of time that makes something eternal. But time is a key part of it. So for time, that's your next fill-in, time is the measurement of change. Now, track with me here. If I take an orange and I put it on the counter, okay? And I come back 1 minute later, did that orange change in some way? You're unsure. Okay, let's do this. If I put it on the counter and I come back a month later, did the orange change? You can visually see the change, right? You see, what you can do is you can look at the change between how something was at one point and come back and see how it is at another point, and the change is the time. That's how we determine time, is the change of things. We even say to each other, well, not if we're being nice to each other, but we might say, like, time has not been kind to you. What does that mean? If time has not been kind to you, that means you look older than you should over the amount of time. In other words, we expect a certain change. You look this way at this age, and you look this way at this age. And if time has not been kind to you, somehow you look like You should have been kicked down the road further, and there should be more time, but there's not. So what have you been doing with your life, right? Or we might say time has been kind to you. That's the opposite, right? That's saying this much time has gone by, but you still look great. Time has been kind to you. You see, we use time to measure change. If there's change, there has been time. Eternity is when there's no change. If something never changes, then no time has gone by, right? And it doesn't matter the distance that you think time is, if something never, ever, ever changes, it exists in eternity. It is eternal because it doesn't change. Are you with me so far? Okay, we got to go a couple layers deeper. I promise not to lose you, okay? If I do, we'll back up time and figure it out. Time is the progression of events from the past into the future. Time can only exist when there's something to measure. So even though there is an existence before what's created, before there is something, though there's an existence before that, it's eternal because nothing changes in it. It's timeless. So it makes it eternal, before or after whatever this thing is that we're now calling time that we live in and that we understand. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of the Bible, it says this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the word beginning is to say the beginning of time, when all matter was created. So, from a Christian sense, from a biblical sense, we would say that time began in the beginning, when God created. Because from that point on, we've been able to measure a change in creation, right? So prior to that, God existed, but it was timeless, so he's eternal. But in the moment of creation, there was a beginning to that creation, and we've been able to measure it, and that's where we have time. So time isn't a watch or a clock. That's just a device that we use that marches along, that we use to identify the change in various things, but it's the change that makes time, and it's the lack of change, the no change, that makes something eternal. Now, some people say, you know, I don't want to worry about the past. The past is the past. And I'm not really interested in the future stuff because I don't know what the future is. I just want to live in the present. I want to be in the present. That's what my focus is being in the present. You've heard people say that. You might feel that way yourself. But here's my challenge for you. Is that even possible? Can you be in the present? Where is it? Has it been in this last minute? Has this minute been? I know what we mean when we say the present, but I mean, really. Was this last minute the present? Look, I just use a being verb, was, which means what? Past. If we cut a minute in half, we're going to be present right in the middle of it. Half that minute is in the past, and an exact equal half of that minute is in the future. And where's the present? It's not even on the time scale. The present's actually in eternity somewhere. No change happens in the present. There's only past, and there's only future. There's no present. Is it a second long? Is that the present? Because cut a second in half. Half's in the past, half's in the future. Where's the present? Well, Pastor Doug, come on. There's the present. We're in it right now. Well, that was then. That's the past. I just said it. In fact, if the present is marching towards me on the timeline, it's going to come to me, and it's going to leave before I even recognized it was here. It's like driving through Rio Linda. It just comes at you. You guys don't know Rio Linda, do you? Rowena. You ever drive through Rowena, and your kids are like dozing in the back? You're like, hey, this is, and they're like, what? Yeah, you missed it. You see, you can't ever find the present because take a second and split it in half. You have half in the past and half in the future. And then take that half second and split that one in half. And you have half of a half in the past and half of a half in the future. Split that in half and you have half of a half of a half in the past and half of a half of a half in the future. You just keep dicing it down and all you do is just keep splitting it exactly in half and exactly half is in the past and exactly half is in the future. And you're trying to be in the present and you can't be there. All you have is the past and the future. That's all you got. Because that's time. That's change. I would even argue to say to be in the present is to be in eternity. I'm not trying to give a scientific message here. I'm not trying to give something that only some kind of a cosmologist or physicist or, you know, philosophical argument could, like, intellectually understand. I really today want to connect with God and what God tells us about the hope that we can have in what he says. But in order to do this, I need you to understand that eternity or eternal things are not religious fairy tales. That eternity is something that's all around us that science acknowledges and does their best to try and make sense of it. And it is difficult to think about. But it's a real thing. But in our faith, we understand this through what God tells us through the scriptures. And it is an idea that is scientifically supported. That is the concept that eternity exists. But what that eternity looks like for all of us, including me, is speculation and conjecture. But the existence of eternity is an accepted reality. Now, Jesus said this about eternity. He said, as Christians, we are going to experience eternal life. Okay? John 3:16, very popular verse in the scriptures. For God so loved the world, or loved the world so much, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have what? Eternal life, right? So this is how we inherit this eternal life, and it's a good life. It's the good aspects of eternity. It's with God. It's in his presence. It's in the kingdom of God, as the scripture talks about it. What that is, we don't know. There's a lot of ideas, there's a lot of thoughts about it, but what eternity is, I haven't been there, you haven't been there. We're not exactly sure what it is. The Bible gives us some clues. But some of those clues are images, temporal images or finite images of an eternal existence. And so it's very difficult for the writers to be able to communicate this or for us in our finite brain to understand an area of time that we can't understand because we're bound by time and all we know is time. All we know is change. But to go into a place that has no change. But this is a place, or this idea of eternal life is good, and it's eternal life with the God who made us and the God who loves us. In fact, the Bible says that God actually is love. He is the definition of love. In 1 John 4:8, God is love. He is what love is. He's the fullness of what love is. It's a love that we have a hard time giving to one another because it's unconditional. It's not granted upon what you have done, but because of who you are. You're his creation and he loves you. And for followers of Jesus, we have this great hope in this eternal life. I have not entered into eternity. You have not entered into eternity. We do not know exactly what eternity is, but Jesus says that his followers will enjoy or experience this eternal life that is good and it is with him. Now, there are certainly people out there that have had near-death experiences, right? And they talk about what this is and, you know, go towards the light and all these ideas, like tens, hundreds, and even thousands of near-death experiences have been recorded. Then there are those that are Christians that say, not only near-death experience, but I have been to heaven. Okay, these are Christian heaven tour guides. And they write a book about what heaven's about, you know, as if it's like before you get there, you find out everything you need to know. Now, I don't know where you're at on those kinds of books or those kinds of stories, near-death experiences or the heaven travel guides. And if they're helpful for you, that's wonderful. I don't mean to dash that, but I don't believe them. Now, you say, well, Pastor Doug, come on. How can you not believe them? Because I'm a skeptic. I'm a skeptic about everything about my faith. I question everything. The more people that tell me something's true, the more I just feel like, I better check it out. And there's just something about people selling their story that makes me just say, hang on. And then if these people all went to heaven, don't you think the stories should match up on the major issues? Like if they've actually been there? Like if I go to Disneyland, you go to Disneyland, we're going to talk about different things. I'm going to talk about how amazing the popcorn is, and you might talk about how amazing, you know, the turkey legs are, okay? Two different stories within the same place. I get that. But when we're talking about the same thing, like if I'm like, oh, I rode Space Mountain, it was amazing, because you go into this dark thing and you can hear them kind of going, and then you tell the story, like I went to Space Mountain and it was filled with cotton candy and there were unicorns jumping around. I'd be like, wait, did we go on the same ride? Like if they're the same, they're the same. And if they're not the same, they're not the same. And these stories don't match up, so I say no. Maybe one of those stories is true, but I can't match them up with the others. But I don't need them to be true. I'm all good with Jesus telling me I'm going to live eternally with him. I'm good with that. And just because I don't know exactly what that looks like in my finite mind about what the infinite is, what the eternal is, I'm okay with that too. Some people aren't. But I have a hope in what Jesus tells me. And my hope is also coupled with my faith. In fact, if I were to maybe describe faith and hope, I would say faith is the vehicle that supports my hope. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen, and it gives us assurance about the things we can't see. So faith and hope are tied very closely together here. You know, my faith and my hope give me the assurance in this eternal life that I am banking on, that Jesus has told me about. It is not built upon my own selfish desires, but it's built upon the words of God. And I believe that his words have been proven to be trustworthy in my life and in the life of others through my own examination of what God has said. God is love. And in that love, he gives me hope. And in my hope, it is realized through my faith that God will eternally save me. So when it comes to faith and hope and love, the Bible actually says those are the three things that are going to actually last forever, that will last for eternity: faith, hope, and love. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, because God is love. But there's another side to this coin. This eternal life coin, the other side, is that Jesus said that you are all going to experience, I am, and you are going to experience eternal life. But there is a good eternal life, and there is a not so good eternal life. There's an eternal life that is heaven, and there is an eternal life that is not heaven. And he said that those that don't follow him will be eternally punished. We don't like these verses, but Jesus said these as well. He said, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. You see, you and I have an eternal life in our future. We don't have to believe that we have an eternal life for it to be a reality. Each one of us has an eternal life in front of us. I mean, you don't have to believe that tax day is coming, but April 15th will come. You don't have to believe that the sun will rise tomorrow, but tomorrow morning the sun will peek over the horizon. It's not dependent on your belief or even your agreement with it. You have an eternal existence in front of you. And Jesus lays out those two different existences. We're going to live for eternity. And we have faith, and we have hope, and we have love. But I would say that the fourth thing that will last forever, it's your last fill-in, is you. You see, this life is our time to prepare for eternity. That's why we're here. That's what this journey is all about. And I wonder if you and I are living in such a way as if eternity is coming. Because it would be my greatest hope that you're not living your life in such a way as putting your head in the sand and hoping that you're going to get a free pass or that this life doesn't impact the life to come. Maybe even today you're hoping that there is no eternal life. But what faith or hope do you have in that belief? See, for me, I would rather believe in a God that tells me of the eternal life to come, and a God that says to me that I'm welcome there in that place. Each one of us are going to experience eternity. A few years back, my grandmother, Esther Bartell, she had cancer, and she was at kind of her last, you know, moments on earth. I was living here, and she was back in California. She was living in my parents' home under hospice care, and they were loving her in those last moments. And they said, it's time to come home. You know, those aren't the calls you want to get. And my grandmother was a wonderful woman of faith. And when I went to see her, she was weak. There wasn't much left of her at this point, but she still had that little sparkle in her eye. And, you know, when you go see a loved one that is just seems to be hanging on to life, there's that thought like, okay, I'm the last one to get here. Has grandma been waiting for me to show up, you know? And so I'm alone with her in the room, and I say to her, I say, you know, grandma, like, I'm here. It's okay to go. And the words that she said to me were, my carpet's not been installed yet. What? She was referring to this idea of this mansion that God has. Now, I do not believe that my grandmother in one moment believed that God was building her a mansion. But what she was doing is she was reminding me of a truth that Jesus said. See, in John 14, 2 through 3, Jesus said, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. And if this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when everything is ready, apparently the carpet too, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And my Savior came and got my grandmother. And today she lives in his existence, eternally. And I look forward to going to the place where time does not affect, where moth and rust do not destroy, where cancer has no chance to grow because there's no change, where there's just presence with God, and to know each other, and to love, and to be loved. You and I are going to enter into an eternity, and we have this time now to decide what that eternity is going to be. You know, Hillcrest is a group of people that don't live in the past, but I would also say Hillcrest isn't a people that live in the present. I think Hillcrest is a group of people that live in the future, in this future hope of what this life is all about. Pointing people to the kingdom and at the same time bringing the kingdom of God here through their love for others, love for each other, and trying to give this love that God has to the world around us. I believe that here at Hillcrest, the taste of eternity is on our lips. It is a way that we do life. It's a way that we communicate. It's a way that we try to show love to our community and the world around us. And we're about loving others because God loves us. Because we're about bringing hope where there is hopelessness. And we are a people of faith because we do have a God that loves us and promises to return for us. And God has enough room for all of us. The question today is, will you join us?